Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Radico Khaitan Q4 FY23 result conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, we welcome you all to Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Radico Khaitan. We would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. On the call, we have with us Mr. Abhishek Khaitan, Managing Director, Mr. Amar Sinha, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Dilip Banthiya, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sanjeev Banga, President, International Business. Let me hand over the floor to Mr. Abhishek Khaitan for his opening remarks. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on our Q4 FY23 results conference call. Our performance during the year was driven by a consistent focus on consumer centricity, sustained investment behind our core brands, coupled with premiumization, agile supply chain, and robust distribution network. Our prestige and above category volumes remained robust, and we registered 17% year-on-year growth on a very high base. This was led by our core brands such as Magic Moments Vodka, which crossed 5 million cases sale, Morpheus Premium Brandy, and 1965 Spirit of Victory Premium Rum, both of which crossed a million case mark. Magic Moments is now the seventh largest vodka brand globally. Driven by our premiumization focus, during the year, we have delivered a strong growth in the top end of the prestige and above brands. Prestige and above brands have shown 150% growth compared to pre-pandemic levels. This has led to a sustainable improvement in the realization per case, as we have highlighted in our presentation. To capitalize upon the traction of APM Premium Black Whisky during Q1 FY 2024, we have launched renovated edition of the brand into a more contemporary packaging to enhance upon its brand equity and make it more aspirational. The new packaging is focused on differentiating the products by highlighting the eight rare notes. During Q4 FY24, the company unveiled Sangam World Malt Whisky at Provine 2023 in Düsseldorf. Sangam is a confluence of malts from the traditional European origins and the New World. It is being launched in the USA, Europe, U.K., Australia, Singapore, and global travel retail, with shipments starting from June 2023. While the raw material scenario still remains volatile, we have seen early signs of deflation in certain commodities. In the IMFL segment, we have recently received price increases in the states of Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Telangana, Karnataka, et cetera. Overall, recent price increases will account for 1.8% of IMFL sales value in FY24. With these price increases, coupled with a favorable product mix, we will be able to mitigate margin headwinds in the IMFL business to a large extent. The impact of the cost push has been much severe in the non-IMFL business, where we have received price increases in the state of Uttar Pradesh, applicable from 1st April 2023 onwards. This will support the profitability expansion in FY 2024. During quarter four, FY 2023, we had successfully commissioned the dual feed plant at Rampur and also started bottling operations at Sitapur. The distillery operations of Sitapur are expected to start commercial operations from the beginning of Q2 FY24. As we continue to drive our premiumization journey, the availability of additional grain-based ENA will strengthen our value proposition. The bottling plant at Sitapur positions us strongly to capitalize on the future growth opportunities in the branded business. Radico Khaitan is progressing firmly on the path of its exciting premium brand creation journey, which will be further strengthened by the backward integrated manufacturing platform. Going forward, we continue to focus on our long-term plans of premium IMFL portfolio expansion with new brand introduction in both white and brown spirits and leveraging the benefits of our capital investments. Despite the near-term concerns and pressures, we are confident that we have all the levers in place for FY24 and expect to build on the current momentum and deliver a broad volume-led growth along with improvement in profitability. I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO for a detailed operational and financial review. Thank you, and over to you, Dilip.
Thank you, Abhishek. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this call today. During Q4 of FY23, we reported total IMFL volume of 7.24 million cases, which is relatively flat on YOY basis. Prestige and above category volume grew by 17.4%, including the royalty brands. Our P&A volume growth is around 35%. In value terms, the prestige and above category registered 18.2% growth. Our prestige and above category volume represent a double-digit CAGR compared to the pre-COVID level. We have rationalized volume of regular category brands. This is a conscious strategic decision to mitigate input cost pressure. Prestige and above category now account for 40.2% of the total IMFL volume compared to 30.5% in Q4 of FY22. The percentage expansion has been higher due to the decline in regular volumes. In FY24, we expect that our prestige and above category volume will continue the high double-digit growth. With recent received price increases in certain key states, regular volume shall also return to their mid-single-digit growth rate. Our gross margin during the quarter has been under pressure due to the continued commodity inflation, particularly in non-IFL business, where we have recently received price increases. Even a favorable product mix, impact of the cost push on the gross margin of IFL business was mitigated to a large extent. We have experienced inflation in ENA and glass. Glass costs increased by around 12% from middle of Q3, the full impact of which is visible in Q4. However, certain other commodities such as PET and paper have seen early sign of softening. In near term, we expect raw material pricing situation to remain volatile. We expect our margin to improve from current level as we have multiple lever of profitability improvement into FY24. Our Rampur dual feed plant has already become operational and Sitapur plant is expected to be operational from the beginning of Q2 of FY24. With CL and UPML price increase, our non-IMFL margin will also improve. We expect strong P&A volume growth with already received price increases in IFL segment. We'll have a higher volume contribution from luxury brands Rampur Indian Single Malt and Jaisalmer Indian Craft Gin. We have a strong financial position, comfortable liquidity. During these times, we are taking all necessary steps to sustain our financial strength, maintain robust business model and grow consistently, competitively and profitably. With this, we'll now open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, very much.
Yes, sir. Sir, as you have mentioned that for P&A category, the growth including royalty sales is 35%. So similarly, can you share the same number for full year and for regular segment also for the quarter and full year?
So royalty brands is included. It's, you are right that it is in the range of for full year also in the range of 35% to 37%.
Okay, okay, sir. And what about the regular category, sir?
Regular category has seen 1 minute. We, for regular category, if we take out the royalty, add the royalty brands, it's in the Q4, the decline would be about 16% against 23% that we have reported. And for the full year, it's about 7% against 13% that we have reported.
Got it, sir. Got it. And, sir, similarly, like a growth in exports and CSD for the quarter and full year, like, would you have the number hand?
So, as far as the growth in export as well as in defense is concerned, the P&A category is growing in double digit. In export and as well as in defense and certain civil markets, where the input cost pressures were high, we cut down on certain brand sales. And this is the reason that the regular category has degrown in this year. But given the price increases which we have received in certain states, as well as the international freight prices coming down, we expect back the regular category to go in the mid-single digit.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just had a couple of questions. One was on the popular segment itself. So from a run rate perspective, you know, do we expect a similar kind of a run rate on volume the way we've kind of tracked the quarterly numbers, or do we see that there will be an acceleration given that, you know, some of the volumes that we will be restricted because of inflation start to come back? I just wanted to understand what's the way to look at it for F24.
So your voice is very hazy. So can you repeat this on regular category, please?
Yeah, is this better?
Yeah, it's a bit clearer.
Okay, so no, my question was on popular. I just wanted to get a sense of, this quarter, ex the royalty brands, we're at close to 4 million cases. I just wanted to understand, how did we look at FY24 on this base? Given that some inflation, you're seeing inflation in certain pockets cool off, you've got some price increases. So, do you start to increase, wherever you've restricted the growth, do you start to increase the, pick up the volumes there? And do the royalty brands, which is about a million case a quarter now, does any change happen to that portfolio? Do you take it back, or are they, 1 to 2 year contracts? So just wanted to get a sense of how that mix will work.
So as far as the 24 volume is concerned, we are on our course, continue to deliver P&A category growth of high teens between 15% to 18%. The rebel category becomes viable now in certain states. So we will be back in from Q1 onward itself in a single digit, mid-single digit kind of 4% to 5% growth kind of thing. Overall growth we expect to be in the range of around 10% for the whole year with a top line growth of 15 to 16% on IMFL business.
Okay, got it. On the, I just had a question on the balance sheet. Seems to have been an increase on the inventory days. Just wanted to get a sense of what's happened there. Is it a kind of bunching up or could you give a sense of what's happening? So I think it's 80 plus days for the year.
So as we have already intimated and informed that our Sitapur bottling operation also got started. At the same time, we started procuring certain raw material and fuel there. So the inventory in that part is also gone up. As far as the inventory number of days of the IMFL business is concerned, we are monitoring it continuously, and in corporation and other markets, our number of inventory days are in line with what our business plans.
Got it. So literally this should normalize to some extent, right? Because these are kind of...
Yeah, for next year, when the volume, the top line grows, this thing will normalize.
Got it. Okay, I have a few more. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Tulsian from Vision Ahead Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is, what is the response of this ready-to-drink vodka which we have launched in the Indian market? And what response you foresee for your three international brands, Rampur, Jaisalmer and Ranthambore? And my third question is how that, if UK free trade agreement comes into picture, how it will affect you positively or negatively?
So first question of ready to drink. Vodka for day.
So first of all, the trend of RTDs in India is just catching up and growing. Vodka cocktail launched by Radico is the first of its kind in the category. There is no vodka-based cocktail drink available other than Radico. The response in Karnataka, where we have launched first to start with, is very encouraging. And that is pushing us to extend the launch now to a couple of more states in the next quarter, which is Maharashtra, Daman, and some states in the north. So the product has responded very well, and we hope to make it a national product in the course of the next 1 year.
In terms of our luxury portfolio, Rampur and Jaisalmer, the international response as well as domestic response continues to be extremely positive. As we've always said, Rampur still remains on allocation, but we increased our malt capacity a couple of years ago, so we will start having more malt available this year onwards, and going forward there will be substantially more malt that will be available, which will make us will facilitate expansion of our footprint both in the global market as well as the Indian market. Jaisalmer, again, we tripled our gin distillation capacity to cater to the increased demand both from international as well as domestic market. So we are very positive on our luxury portfolio.
And so Ranthambore?
So the Royal Ranthambore as a product has been launched in 13 states, and there are more states which are planned to be launched during the new fiscal year. The product has received unprecedented positive response, and the unique thing about Royal Ranthambore is that it has been pitched against some of the popular international brands higher in terms of price, and it has been very well accepted. This goes to prove that the consumer is accepting good products now made from India against any other international brand. So we are very optimistic, and the new year, new fiscal year will delight us.
Okay. And sir, how this UK free trade agreement, if it comes into picture, how it will affect us?
See, let me tell you what. When the Indian economy was largely based on products selling below the prestige segment, prestige and above segment, then it would have been a reason to worry. But now, most of the products that we are selling in India, especially Radico, which sells more than 40% of its sales in the prestige and above segment, we don't have any reason to worry. Secondly, we have seen out of experience that the India-Australia FTA has gone off very positive, protecting the interests of the domestic players. And we hope that the Indian government is going to look the same way as far as the UK FTA is concerned. But in terms of price positioning, now India has breached the quality and price standards of international brands, and therefore we don't see a lot of issues around it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chanchal from Birla. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah. Very much, Chanchal.
Thank you. Thank you. So if I look at your gross margin, now you are almost at a 16-quarter low. The mix has improved. I mean, your premium portfolio has been doing very well if I look at 3-year CAGR. And the new plant is starting, Rampur plant is starting, and Sitapur will start shortly. Now, going forward, I mean, have we heard that the ENA prices and the bottling prices hurt you? What's the kind of gross margin the company can go to? Because, I'm sure you'll cross your peak gross margin given the mix we are improving on. So and how will this happen quarter after quarter? Some guidance in next 2 to 3 years, how this gross margin can look, can be there.
So, Chanchal, first of all, the inflation in the commodity has been high, very high in all the commodities which we use as a raw material. So the impact of the commodity was around 850 basis points, out of which we have mitigated in the IMFL business to a large extent. We got the price increase last year, which is on weighted average basis on IMFL business is 300 basis points. The non-IMFL business was continuous at drag, which also we have received the price increase effective from 1st April 23 onwards. So from a negative EBITDA, it will also turn into a positive single-digit EBITDA. As far as the margin drag on gross margin drag, out of 850 basis points, we have been able to mitigate roughly around 450 to 500 basis points by price increase as well as product mix. And you will see that our realization per case in P&A category has improved by 100 rupees per case. So this is an improvement in the quality of product mix in the P&A category we are selling. So in 23-24, there are multiple levers which will improve our margin consistently quarter after quarter. And the dual feed, Rampur dual feed and Sitapur greenfield project backward integration will give us additional leverage on that. Then the price increase which we got in certain states. In coming year also, in 23-24, the impact of that is approximately 180 basis point or so. The increase in the P&A category, which we are confident to deliver 15-18% growth, and with the Rampur Indian single malt and Jaisalmer volume ramping up, and in domestic as well as in international markets, I think we are on course to deliver during the year that our margin will be in mid-teens. And that's how we will mitigate, and thereafter with the kind of product portfolio and new launches coming in, we will be able to deliver better margin in coming 1, 2, 3 years later apart. So I think our journey is continuing, our product profile is strengthening, and we have seen this headwind, which we have been able to mitigate roughly around 210-220 crores of cost push we have handled in this year. In spite of that, these are the margins.
Sure, thank you. This is useful. So I think mid-teens margin you will go this year, and going forward, your margins will improve further because I'm saying that the peak margin...
I said that quarter after quarter, we will improve on our margin expansion trajectory here onward. During the quarter, we will reach mid-teens, and thereafter, in coming year, with the kind of product profile and the premiumization going on, the margin expansion in next 2 to 3 years will again be back on teens kind of thing, high teens kind of thing.
Sure, thank you. The second question is on the balance sheet, if I may. So the debt level is almost 600 crore plus now.
Is this the peak debt, or you think because now that the plant has started, your debt should start coming down going forward?
So we will have a peak debt of around approximately 800 crore in Q2 of FY24. Thereafter, it will continue to decline by the free cash flow. And by 25-26, as we guided, we will be, I think, positive on our cash flow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Darshan Shah from Multi-Act Equity Consultancy Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have just one question. So what is the share of defense CSD segment in overall revenues in FY23, and what was it, let's say, 5 years back?
Defense segment volume-wise is around 9 to 10% of the overall volume of our branded business.
And what was it, let's say, 5 years back?
5 years back. It remains actually between 10 to 11% because actually the growth in the civil market is much better on volume side, much faster and better. So it used to be between 11-12%, now it is 9 to 10%.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question. So, how much debt have we capitalized?
Pardon, how much debt capitalized?
Yeah, because
the long term debt we have actually contracted for is for 500 crores. Out of which we availed as on 31st March 320 crores.
Because if I look at the quarterly run rate, interest outflow is roughly 9 crores, and I think you have 610 crores of debt on the balance sheet. I'm just trying to understand, why the interest cost so low.
So the interest on the capital project, which is actually Sitapur Greenfield project, till it is a commercial production start, the intervening period interest is being capitalized.
So yeah, that is how much is that amount?
I think it is 6.5 crores.
6.5 on a quarter basis.
Yeah, no, not quarter basis. I am talking about in total. I have not had capitalized. Yeah. Capitalize is that much for the whole period till 31st March 23.
Okay, sir. Fine, I'll take this offline. I think I'm just...
Our weighted average interest cost on working capital and term loan put together is in the range of 7.5 to 7.6%.
Okay. Okay. So you and this number 600, you said it will go to peak at 800 crores by Q3. Or Q2 ends.
Can you come back again?
Yes.
That is what you're saying, right? So, okay. And just one more thing. When is this plant expected to, commence? Because it is still showing in CW. So I'm just trying to understand when will this commercialize?
So beginning Q2, we are expecting to have the trial run and commercial production by July end or something.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a follow-up. In this quarter, realization
may we request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah, hi, sorry. So just had a follow-up. You know, this in this quarter, the realization growths have been fairly muted on P&A and Popular. I mean, Popular, there might be some changes, but on P&A, they've been fairly muted. So would it be that the lower end of the prestige segment this quarter has done probably better, 8 p.m. black, etc.? Is that the way to look at it?
So, Harit, you're right. If you compare Q3 versus Q4, higher end of P&A was better in Q3 because of the festivities, etc. And in Q4, that's not the case. So that's the only reason, because we haven't had any differential in terms of pricing, etc. in Q4. So that's the only reason.
Okay, understood. And the other thing was on this quarter, this year actually, in spite of increasing capex, you've been fairly you've increased your payout ratios to about 20%. And this was a high capex year. Just wanted to get a sense, Abhishek is on call as well. Do we expect this the ratio to continue to improve? I think maybe next year is a peak out debt year, but post that, is that the right way to look at it, that things should improve from here in terms of payout ratios?
Yeah, because the kind of cash the company will throw out after, like, because the debt will keep reducing, so our dividends will keep going up and the payout ratio will increase.
Got it. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder for all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Satyaki Bhattacharya, individual investor. Please go ahead. The line for Bhattacharya is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Satyaki Bhattacharya, may we request to unmute your line from your side? May I request the management members? We move to the next participant.
Yes, please.
Our next question is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. So thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the volume growth that we are guiding, say, around 15 to 18%, on the P&A side, and mid single digit in the regular category. So how do we see that this
Mr.
includes the royalty brands as well, or
hello? Mr. Pankaj Kumar, may we request you to use your handset as the audio is not clear?
Okay. Yeah, so my question was more on this volume growth that we are giving. So this volume growth guidance that includes our royalty brands as well, or effect of royalty brands?
So the guidance which we have given about the P&A and other regular category is including royalty, but this full year, 23, this run rate of 800,000 boxes to 900,000 boxes will be actually equal in the next this thing. So it will like-to-like basis. This is a growth including royalty.
Including royalty. So net of royalty, how do you feel that?
So as I said that this year we had a run rate of boxes per quarter. So this this continues with the same this thing. On a this base, the growth of P&A will be 15 to 18%, and regular will be in the mid digit, single digit.
Okay. Okay.
Including royalty. Yeah.
On the new brands that we talked about, we would be launching this white category as well as in the brown. So what are the plans, and in which category segment that we are looking at?
See, the new brand, what we are looking at, one of the brands will be in the luxury segment, and the other will be in a
mid-luxury.
So, it will be a mid-luxury or a super premium.
Okay. And on this non-IMFL business, now we've got the price hike. So decent volume growth on that side as well?
Yes, there'll be a volume growth on the because how we see that by in a couple of years, you know, that might be converted into IMFL. So that is what the trend, because that is why the grain plant has been put up, and plus for the luxury segment and all our brands. So the volumes will increase.
Okay. And the margin in this non-IMFL category would be at what level?
So it is actually now 7%-8% after the price increase.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naveen Trivedi from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Yeah.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is again on the margin side. Can you just explain about what is the gross margin difference between the P&A and the regular portfolio for FY 2023?
So overall margin in the IMFL business, EBITDA margin has been ranging between 15% or so. Are you talking about gross margin? Gross margin on the P&A category will be around above 55%-60%.
Sure, sure. And what about the regular portfolio?
Regular portfolio has been in the range of around 15%-20%.
15%-20%. So that gross margin side, you're expecting this will become around 25%-30% sort of a band next year?
Pardon?
So that
Pardon?
I'm saying the gross margin expansion in the regular portfolio will be close to 20% next year?
So we are not actually looking at. We have done this, see, where the price increases have come back. It's a matter of and everything, so I can't give you. But overall, as I said, that mix of P&A and regular category, we will have an improvement in margin, in the gross side. Our margin on the gross side used to be in the range of around 48%-49%, which has come down to 41%. There has been a knock of 800 basis points. So this will be mitigated by these, all the levers of the profitability, which we have talked about. And the margin on the gross margin will again go back on this, but still volatility of raw material and other things are there. On the EBITDA side also, we are confident to achieve our margin on the mid-teen kind of thing during the course of this year.
Sure, sure. Just one thing I want to understand from the plant benefit impact on the gross margin side, apart from assuming there is no further volatility in the on the RM basket, how should we look at the benefit of the plant on the gross margin side?
We said earlier also that taking your own ENA versus buying out from outside gives a delta of around, now around 10-11 rupees. So the ENA, which we are going to use, whether for our UPML or for the IMFL business, we are going to get that. Rest, for the time being, we will export or sell in domestic market, but in 3 years' time, all the ENA will be used for our captive consumption basis.
Sure, sir. Yeah, thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Rajendra R, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So, I had one, you know, kind of a broad organization level question here. So your competitor, you know, the market leader, has separated the, you know, Prestige and Above brands, and they have sold out, or, you know, they are deprioritizing the popular brands. So, I mean, in your own case, you know, the trend is very clear. You know, we had 30% volume contribution from P&A that has gone to 40%, and probably this year it will be 50% or above that. So do you have any thoughts on separating out the non-IMFL business or the popular brands that seems to, you know, bring a lot of volatility into the metrics?
No, we don't have any plans of separating out the business because it's all integrated. The plants are there, so there's a lot of GST implication and everything. So there's no plans of separating it out. And what we see, UP is such a large state, 20% of the India's population is Uttar Pradesh. And the way the industry is galloping and we are the market leaders, we control, we have a market share of close to 30% in the IMFL business. And if you see UP alone in the next 5 years, the way the growth is happening, the industry can go anywhere.
Okay. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to pick your brain on that one. So thanks for answering.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question. And in lower prestige category, which brand we are having and is it available pan-India or what are the plans in for that particular category, lower prestige category?
You're talking about Himanshu, the popular category, the regular category, lower prestige is all, we have the flagship brands like 8PM, Old Admiral Brandy and Contessa Rum. That's all launches in last 15 years has been done P&A and above only. So we are continuing where they, wherever these brands are stronger and we make some money after the price increases. And that's from that only we plan to have a mid-single digit growth in the coming year.
And we have in our presentation also highlighted the growth for each segment and also the key brands within that segment.
Sorry, sir. I was talking about low prestige as a category in McDowell's number one and Imperial Blue kind of category.
So, see, we have so far really been unrepresented in that category primarily because margins were not good enough. But now, with the positive response of various state governments on the price line, we have just introduced a brand called After Dark Blue and it has started responding very well. We've started it from Uttar Pradesh and some other states and we hope to make it big in this segment as well. But we will be confined to those states where it is profitable and the margins are healthy.
Sure. And just one more, if you can help, what would be the volume size of the industry in this category? Low prestige category?
Lower prestige volume or, of industry.
It's about 50 lakhs, 5 billion a month.
It'll be about close to 50 to 60 million cases.
Sure, sir. Thanks. That is very helpful, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Zico, you.
Our next question is from the line of Priyam Khimawat from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand post our greenfield commercialization of Sitapur and Rampur dual feed, what will be our total ENA capacity in crore liters?
So our capacity will be in a range of around 21 crores liters.
So when we talk about a 10 to 11 rupee delta per liter, can we expect a 200 crore improvement in FY25 on the gross margin basis?
See, first of all, you must understand that Rampur dual feed plant had been converted because of the reason that, first of all, the industry is migrating from the molasses base to grain-based alcohol. And that dual feed, molasses availability in due course of time will continue to be declining and most of the molasses will be used for the ethanol blending. So to cater to the growing market of UP,
in UPML as well as in IMFL, we converted it. It will give a delta of 1.5 crore liter per annum, and the impact of that will be around 10 rupees per liter.
But on the additional capacity being created,
that's right. But earlier we were also utilizing on molasses basis.
Yeah.
But in order to safeguard ourselves, we converted on dual feed.
Got it.
Sitapur capacity will be additional. As it is, we are buying 7 crore liter of grain alcohol for our IMFL business, sourcing from various listings. In due course of time, that will be used captively. And we were constrained to increase our volume on P&A category without these expansions.
Got it. Sir, and when we talk about a mid-teens kind of EBITDA margin, we are talking about exit run rate in Q4 FY24, not entire year FY24. Am I correct?
So it will be achieved during the course of the year. It will start improving from Q1 onward, but during Q3 and Q4, you will see that.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir. All the best going ahead.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. I now would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thanks for joining us today on this call. We are confident of maintaining our long-term margin expansion given the premiumization of our portfolio, recently received price increases both in IMFL and non-IMFL, and backward integration. Further, the operating leverage will also start kicking in from FY24. We look forward to interacting with you on our next earnings call. In the meanwhile, if you have any queries or follow-up, please feel free to write to us. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.